have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 12. I want to kick this week off with talking about last week. Now, if you weren't here last week, you missed out. Our worship band gave us a taste of what it looks like for the body of Christ to come together. We had John start out on the hi-hat, just kind of ticking away. And then we added the bass in. We added some rhythm in. And then we added our melody line in with Darren on the keyboard. And I'll tell you what, talking with the band and then me getting to stand here, let me tell you what I saw, not from everyone, but from the majority of everyone in the crowd. This is what we saw. Once Darren started to kind of play the melody line, this was what I saw. Like I said, not everyone, but it was amazing to see the reaction on the people when the band came together. I mean, I heard it, and I've been around bands, and I've played in bands and those kinds of things, but it was neat just kind of adding one piece upon one piece upon one piece, and then adding the last one in the melody line. It brought everything together. And then, like I said, we knew that was going to happen. And like I said, we're instrumentalists. We know how that works. But for the majority of the people in the congregation, hearing that line come together and seeing the reaction on your face when you're like, that's a song. That's exactly what it's like when the church comes together. It might be nice to hear the bass. It might be nice to hear the drums. But when everyone comes together, man, there's a reaction. There's something that happens. And that's exactly what we as a church, and I'm not talking about coming together like sitting here in a pew or in a chair. I'm talking about you using your gifts and this person using their gifts. And when we come together and we use our gifts together, it is nice to be a part of. It's nice to watch. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. We're just going to kind of piece this through for the first two verses here. Paul writes to this church in Corinth. He says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though are many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For there is one Spirit, all were baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks or slaves or free, and all were made to drink one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many." If you're taking notes, the first thing I want you to write down is this: greatness is determined by many, not one. Greatness is determined by many, not one. If you ever look at anything that's great, because there is a multitude of things and multitude of people that are a part of that than just one person. Sure, the MVP may be recognized, or the quarterback may be recognized, or whatever it is, but in every organization, it is, if it's great, it's because of the success of many people. Think about a football team. Where would they be without the center? How often do you hear the guys talk about the center in football, other than when, like, once they start the first quarter and they go to the commercial break and they have the guys like, you know, Buck Buchanan, Ohio State, you know, like, other than that part, do they ever talk about the center? And maybe if they just traded, or maybe he had an injury, but they're not going to go, you know, this is the third quarter and the quarterback's got it easy. The center's doing a great job putting the ball right there between his legs for the quarterback to grab. Never heard it. We talk about the wide receivers, we talk about the quarterbacks, we talk about the linebackers. The center, he gets no love, you know, no attention whatsoever. But think about what football would be if everyone lined up on the line and there was no center. The tackle's laying there, he's like, gets his spacing, he's like, looks back at the quarterback, he's like, well, there it is. As soon as the tackle scoots over and gets over the ball, what is he now? He's a center. You can't have a great football team without a center. Matter of fact, you can't have a football team without a center. And then the same thing with the quarterback. The center hikes in it. Whoop. All you've done now is just figure out, you know, who's going to get the fumble first. And then, you know, you've got to have every single part. Baseball team. You know, when you're growing up, it was like, oh, you know, right field, blah, 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 right field, right field. I hear that all the time. As an umpire, I'm like, don't ever say anything about any position. Every position is valuable. Matter of fact, if you don't think it is, just pull it out. See what happens. I mean, what happened if you just had two outfielders? I know all my umpire friends are like, you can't play with less than nine. I get it. But let's pretend they're out there with eight. Look at the outfield. You know, the coach would say, just hit it out there, because there's no way two guys can cover all that span. Our church has a softball team, and we play on Sunday nights. And there's some times that we play with four in the outfield. You're allowed to in old man softball. But when there's three sometimes, it's difficult. I look at our outfielders going, well, no wonder they're scoring so many runs. They can just hit it where you aren't. And like I said, we're old man softball, so we don't run as well as we used to. So they score a lot more runs on us. Every position is important. I did some research this week. You know what every team successful, they also have? Water boys. I don't know why you just chuckled. I have no idea. There's not one professional organization, collegiate organization, high school organization does not have someone designated to be the water boy. Matter of fact, according to a website, NFL water boys make an average of $53,000 a year. Some of you are like, that's what I want to do. I want to stand on the sideline and squirt water in celebrities' faces for $53,000 a year. Like, oh, should have caught that pass. Sorry about your eye. You know, kind of thing. You know, $53,000 a year. Why? Not because the NFL's like, well, we just have more money. We know what to do with. We just need to pay a bunch of water boys. They understand how important it is that the players are offered water, that they come off the field and someone's walking up to them going, you need this, you need this. It's important. Every great organization is not defined by one person. It's defined by many. This church is not defined by one person, other than that person being Jesus Christ. But here on earth in the physical, it's defined by many. This church is not going to be a great church because we have the greatest youth pastor, the greatest worship leader, the greatest, you know, children's minister. Although I think we have all those things, that one individual is not going to make this church great. It's you. It's you. You make up for my subpar preaching because of how you use your gifts. This church is not, the greatness is not defined by one person. It's defined by many. Second thing is this, you belong. Look at verse 15 through 20. Paul writes this, if the foot should say, because I am not the hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not the eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But it is as God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As there are many parts, yet one body. The church cannot afford to have believers who choose to belong and not connect. Just because you're a deacon or a small group leader or a teacher or maybe you're on staff, that does not mean you're not those things. Doesn't mean you don't belong. Well, Paul, I'm not on a committee. That doesn't mean you don't belong here. Well, Paul, I'm not on staff. Okay, that doesn't mean you don't belong. Matter of fact, we have to have you. If this whole church were a deacon body, there would be no one else to serve. If this whole church was a group of children's ministers, the youth would go unattended. And we can't have that. Just kidding, guys. Y'all are awesome. Y'all really are. But here's the thing. You belong. You need to belong here. Now, you say, Paul, you're saying, so I got to join this church. No, I'm not telling you have to join this church. What I will tell you is this. There's some of you who've been visiting this church for 2 to 3 weeks, 2 to 3 months, or 2 to 3 years. If you don't feel like you belong here, as the pastor of this church, I want you to go somewhere where you feel like you belong. You have to belong. You can't just attend. That's not a relationship. You can't just show up. You have to belong. You have to get a part. You have to get connected. That's what the body of Christ is. It's like having your arm asleep. Like it's there, but it doesn't function very good. And if you're here, but you're not connected, that's great, but it's not functioning the way it should. Matter of fact, we've got a class offered next Sunday and the week after, the 19th and the 26th, called Bulverde Basics. We walk through what a Southern Baptist believe, what we as a church, how do we operate within those parameters? How do you get connected in our church? What are our ministries? How do I get involved here at the church? our Boulevardi Basics class. If you've been visiting the church for any amount of time and you've not joined, or maybe you've joined and you've never come to that class, I want to give you a personal invitation to come. Because the thing is we want you connected. If you feel like you belong here, then we want you to be a part of what's going on here. If not, I have really good friends with a lot of the pastors in this area, and they have amazing churches too. I would love for you to get connected, because it's not about how many can we write down that we have in attendance. It's about how many people are we equipping to do the work that God's called us to do. It's not about bringing in numbers. It's about being effective with what God has given us and carrying out the mission that God has charged us with. The third thing is this. Not only do you need to belong, but you are needed. You are needed here. So I was talking to a group of people, and they said, well, you know, we could do this, we could do this, and well, how are we going to do that? And I said, here's what I'll tell you. Everything that we as a church need to do, we will be able to accomplish because God has already brought or will bring the right people here. The difference is sometimes we don't know what we have sitting amongst us because we haven't told people what we're gifted in, what we're good at. I'll share a story with you real quick that happened to me in the last 2 weeks. A guy has been visiting our church for quite some time, said, you know what? We love the church. I figured I should get to know my pastor a little bit more. If I'm going to, you know, listen to him teach the Word of God every week, I get to get to know him a little better. So we went to the best place in Boulevardi, Spring Branch, to get a burger, in our opinions, which is the gas station off 311, the Spring Branch store, and we sat down and had a burger. And we talked about how he and his wife met and how my wife and I met, what I love to do, what I'm good at, what he's good at. And I found out he used to build houses growing up. And all throughout his adult life, that he is very good with his hands when it comes to wood. And matter of fact, he has a tool shop with all these types of tools in there. He did not know what he was doing at this moment, but he was telling me how he loves to work with wood and all this stuff. And I just looked at him and said, all right, here's the deal. I need your help. He says, yeah, anything. What do you need? I said, my son has a project. And we went to Home Depot, and we bought an 8-foot-long piece of wood at 6x6 square. And he's got to make a boat out of that. The only thing I can do with wood is burn it. And he's not allowed to take ashes for a project. Will you help my son build a boat? Because I don't know the first thing about, I mean, he goes, what do you mean? I said, well, let's put it this way. We bought some chisels. And I told him, I said, well, just kind of chisel it out. And he went like this. This is his reaction. He went. That's why I knew I found the right guy. My son went over yesterday afternoon, sat in this man's shop for 2.5-3 hours, worked on this boat, drew it out, cut it out, sanded it. It looked so good. I was like, did you buy that at Hobby Lobby? And he had so much pride in it that when he asked us, we said, well, show it to us what it looks like. He took a picture of it. He had it buckled in his seatbelt. So another one happened to him. I'm like, just drive safe and you'll be fine. But, you know, he buckled it in his seatbelt. This guy will never truly understand exactly what that looks like and what a blessing that was for me. There are certain things that I'm good at, and there are a lot of things that I'm not good at. And if I do not surround myself with people who are gifted and great at things that I'm not, then I'm limiting myself. And this point, my son was going to fail a project, dude, because his dad didn't have the talent to help him out with. I was like, just kind of, that's as good as he got. This guy walked into a shop with tons, hundreds of tools and has his boat done. You are needed. Our greeter team. I can't stand in front of the church and greet everyone in the church every time people come in. Before service comes in, we're trying to fix all the things that broke in between services. Like battery pack went down, battery went down, this went down. You know, our media guys just earlier said, hey, by the way, you skipped the second point in the first service. I was like, oh my goodness, people even said they liked it. Maybe I should skip it again, but we're trying to fix it, make my font a little bit bigger, a little clearer so I don't miss my points. And so I don't get to stand at the door and say hello to everyone, but we have an amazing greeter team that does things that I can't do. And on that note, I want to say thank you to everyone here at Boulevardi Baptist Church. Friday night when we had Sean to come in, we had over 900 people from the San Antonio, Austin, and even Fort Worth come into our church to be a part of this event. And it was so well organized. Our security team was praised beyond belief. It was wonderful. And our church stepped up and loved and cared for everyone who walked through the doors. And that's exactly what the body of Christ is, because we needed people to do things that other people necessarily couldn't do because of time or talents or resources, but everyone stepped in and did their part. You are needed. You are desperately needed. The other thing is this: you must contribute. Paul doesn't really say this in the passage where he talks about you need to contribute, but it's definitely implied there that you need to contribute. I want to share with you a story that I read on one of those cheesy pastor websites. And it goes like this: a story about four people whose names were everybody, somebody, anybody, and nobody. The church had some financial responsibilities, and everybody was asked to help, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it, and anybody could have done it, but you know who did it? Nobody. It ended up being that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could do. The church grounds needed some work, and somebody is asked to help. But somebody got mad because anybody could have done it. And after all, it was really everybody's job. In the end, the work was given to nobody, and nobody did a fine job. On and on it went. Whenever the work was to be done, nobody could always be counted on. Nobody visited the sick. Nobody gave his time. Nobody shared his faith. And in short, nobody was a very faithful member. Finally, the day came when somebody left the church and took anybody and everybody with them. Guess who was left? Nobody. I want you to know that's not the story of our church. And I'm so grateful that it's not. But I will be honest. This may not be the story of our church as a whole, but it may be a story of some individuals here today. We think that, you know, I don't really have a lot to do. Somebody will do that. Anybody could probably do that. And end up nobody would do it. This church is an amazing church, but imagine if everyone here just did exactly as the Lord had gifted them. You're thinking, well, Paul, my part's not really that big. Well, yes, it is. It may not be just what you think it is. It may just be a hi-hat, but combined with everyone else's something, it's amazing.